Egyptian military gives politicians a 48-hour ultimatum to bring an end to the political crisis and to meet public demands. Is this the sign of an imminent coup d'etat? The army says it has a political roadmap. Will that solution force President Mohamed Morsi out of power? This is The Debate.
This is Cairo's Liberation Square, an iconic site where just 1 year ago, crowds cheered President Mohamed Morsi's inauguration. But now the square is packed with anti-government protesters who refuse to leave until their demands are met. On Sunday, millions of Egyptians streamed into the streets across the country to demand the ouster of Morsi. The protesters accused the president and the ruling Muslim Brotherhood movement of failing to deliver on their promises. They say they're angry about the lack of public security, the desperate state of the Egyptian economy, and the Brotherhood's absolute eager for power.
It's 25% of his time, and we should have had something, some light at the end of the tunnel. The people in Egypt are living in a terrible situation, in a terrible condition. They say they have increased the wages, but the prices went up 10 times. So actually there is no increase. The people are suffering.
Morsi's supporters, however, say the new wave of protests has created more hurdles for the president as he struggles to forge ahead his planned reforms. They believe that forcing the first democratically elected president from power would set a precedent for future instability.
Democracy is the first thing that President Morsi was after. He had some sort of giving freedom of speech to everyone. Everyone is having sort of democracy to say whatever he or she wants to say. All political parties are free to criticize the president, assess his performance, say things against him or against the cabinet, asking for a change of any of the political or economic decisions that he's ever done or made.
Sunday's protests turned violent in several cities after supporters and opponents of Morsi clashed with each other. In Cairo, protesters set the Brotherhood's headquarters ablaze before storming it and ransacking the building. The health ministry says at least 8 people were killed during overnight clashes outside the Muslim Brotherhood's headquarters in Cairo, raising the overall death toll to at least 16. Morsi's government on several occasions has called for national dialogue and insisted that it's open to discussing any demands consistent with the constitution. The call, however, has been constantly rejected by the opposition. The dilemma has forced the army to intervene. The head of the Egyptian military, General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, has given politicians 48 hours to meet the people's demands and resolve the ongoing political crisis. Sisi says if political forces fail to agree to the popular demands, the military will offer its own roadmap to end the turmoil, without specifying the details of the army's roadmap. The army's intervention seems to be imminent now, as it's highly unlikely that the government and the opposition can reach a consensus over the deepening crisis. But what kind of roadmap is the army planning to introduce? Will it oust the country's first ever democratically elected president? For now, all eyes are on Egypt's politicians. Until then, the clock's ticking and the army's deadline is fast approaching.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from London is founder of the Egyptian-UK Association, Mr. Mustafa Raghab. We're also expecting a guest from Cairo, from the Justice and Freedom Party. We'll try to, of course, bring him into the discussion just as soon as we can. But I'll start my first question with Mr. Raghab in London. Mr. Raghab, welcome. The position of the military became somewhat clear with their latest statement. If nothing happens after the 48 hours ultimatum that they've given, how will the military, do you think, react? While some have raised concerns over a coup, the army itself has mentioned a political roadmap. What do you think?
Well, it depends on the roadmap they have or the agenda they have. But I think the simple thing I can think of that the army will come up with a prime minister who will take the responsibility of appointing a strong minister that will run the country until we have another election to choose a president that who has the power and has the qualification and has what it takes to make a president for this great country, Egypt. The army, I think, has come up with the steps that it will be welcomed by everyone, because after we've seen the unrest in Egypt and with the development that can lead to, it is very frightening to see the situation getting any worse than it was. So I think the army have came up with the right thing to do now. And of course, people were worried about the army ruling. I don't think they will rule. I think they will just supervise the situation. I don't want them to rule as well. I want them just to supervise the situation and lead Egypt through this transition time, because what we say that the present government has failed to do is to achieve security and stability in the streets of Egypt. Before we talk about the economy, before we talk about foreign policies, before we talk about anything else, is to achieve security and stability of the streets of Egypt, and then we can see to other things. So the army now has come up with the solution. I think people are feeling better now, and people are feeling a bit more secure now. And after the 48 hours I hope that we can have a clear picture of the roadmap, and it could be a good roadmap to lead Egypt through this transition time. Mm.
So if this roadmap, you say, does include that option for President Mohamed Morsi to step down, for, you say, maybe a prime minister to be elected, etc., just ahead of elections to be planned, early elections, you say. The thing is, those who are opposed to this have been saying that if we allow the president to be dislodged now, this would mean that we have been disrupting the process of democracy. I mean, after all, President Morsi was elected and people voted for him. He got the votes to become president. We should allow him, at least at this stage, if we agree that he has made mistakes, to allow for national dialogue to get this resolved, rather than intervening in the democratic process, because they say if this happens, we don't know what will happen with the next governments.
Look, there is no offense for President Morsi, but the reality is people voted for President Morsi because they did not want Ahmed Shafiq. This is the reality. He's been elected, fair enough. If he was able to come up with the results, if he was able to come up with what makes Egypt back on the road, nobody would have objected. But as we said, it's 1 year gone, and we haven't seen any plans. We haven't seen anything to say, okay, we can wait, okay, we can patient. But all what we're seeing, what comes out of the president any time he takes a decision, he make a chaos in the streets of Egypt. Anytime he speaks, again, I said, with no offense, I've got nothing against the man. And as I said, he could be a good man, he could be a kind man, but this is not what it takes to make a president. We need a president, and also we want to move with Egypt away from a president ruling the country. We want a strong government to run the country. The president shouldn't be doing everything, and as I said before, that he's sitting with people doing everything, selling lands, talking about people in Italy, talking about people who run the electricity. We want a president to oversee, to supervise the situation, and we want a strong government with a strong prime minister who can really run the country to safety. So when we look at the president and his job is not to run the country. His job is to oversee the government. We want Egypt to move to that step away from a president that run the country to a government that run the country.
Okay, now I'm just hearing that our guest from Cairo is joining us now. He is Mohamed Soudan, the head of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Justice and Freedom Party. Thank you very much, sir, for being on the debate. Now, the first question I'd like to put to you is the statement that's been made by the military. What the political roadmap that they say you think is going to look like? Do you think that this political roadmap means that there's going to be early elections and that President Mohamed Morsi is going to be forced out of his seat?
I think now we are waiting for the hello?
Yes, go ahead. Hello? We can hear you.
Yeah, I think now we are waiting. Now we are waiting for the statement or the press conference coming from the presidency. Then I think that there are something confused from the army statements. Then the presidency should explain everything in the press conference will be in the 9 o'clock tonight.
So what do you think that statement is going to be? I mean, what are your expectations? Do you think that the Muslim Brotherhood now is going to come up with something against the military statement? It's going to say, for instance, that we're not going to accept that political roadmap?
No, we never look for something like this. We always have a very good relationship with the army and the military, and we just need to understand. Now the army should support the legitimacy, and also they are from the same way from the Egyptian citizens, and they give a chance for all the political power and leaders from 1 week ago, and nothing happened. Always the President Morsi called for a national dialogue, but no one answered this calling. And now again the army gave another 48 hours for all parties, all political parties, even the supporters or the opponents. And then after that, they said that they are going to be like another plan to solve the congestion in this Egyptian street and solve this kind of crisis and a problem. A lot of people in the Egyptian street right now, some of them are supporters and some of them are opponents and opposition.
Well, Mr. Sudan, the thing is, do you think that the military then was not speaking against the government? Because when the military said, we want people's demands to be met, a lot of people were seeing that as some kind of a threat to the Morsi government. Do you agree?
I think this is just guesses from everybody. Even us, we still don't understand this kind of statements, not clear enough. But we're still waiting for the explanation from the presidency.
Yes, okay. Now, before I go back to our guest in London, I'd like to bring in a comment that's been posted on our Facebook page by one of our viewers about what should happen in the political scene right now in Egypt. We'll take a look at that comment and I'll be back.
President Morsi. The opposition has been asked many times to sit down and talk, but they always refuse. They don't begin to understand democracy. They're used to Mubarak's way of sucking the life out of Egypt and keeping them down, praying for the blinders to be lifted and Islam to enter their hearts deeply. Alhamdulillah for the supporters and prayers for no violence.
That comment posted on our Facebook page by one of our viewers. I quickly put this question to a guest in London, Mr. Agab. A guest there in Cairo also mentioned that President Morsi has been calling for national dialogue. That viewer also telling us that President Morsi has been asking the opposition to come down and even according to President Morsi's officials and politicians affiliated to him, he's even asked the opposition to introduce names to be put into the government. It's the opposition that's rebuffing him again and again. What do you say to that?
There is no excuse.
That question to a guest in London.
I said, forget about the opposition. There is no excuse for what's happening. If President Morsi or the government were delivering what the people need, if they were delivering, there would be no problem. But the thing about opposition, the opposition have proved themselves that they not even good for the country as well. So what we want to look at here, the message that was very loud and clear from Egypt, all the towns of Egypt, from all the towns all over the world, from the Egyptian abroad. So we should face reality and face the truth. And we know that there is a lot of opposition. There is a lot of angry people. There are a lot of unhappy people. Why they are unhappy? Why they are angry? Of what is happening in Egypt, there is no change. And when people say, give us a chance. A chance for what? What you gonna tell me? What you gonna do? Give me a time plan. Give me a something, a schedule that you're gonna do. This didn't happen. So when we say the opposition and take the opposition as an excuse all the time, we have to face reality. I wanna see the streets of Egypt are quiet. The people going back to work. life are going normal back in Egypt. And if the government fail to establish that and fail to achieve that, yes, then there's going to be something wrong with the government. I mean, when we look at President Morsi, all his time in office, all the time the government is coming out to say, nobody is giving us a chance. And they're just coming out to say, the opposition are making life hard for us. No excuses. Deliver, and then we will listen, and the country will listen to you, and the country will believe in you. This is the problem.
Yes. Well, let's put that question to our guest in Cairo, Mr. Sudan. We know that Morsi is under a lot of pressure now and has made people angry because they say he's favoring the Muslim Brotherhood again over all other parties. He's leading a bad foreign policy, they say, on Syria, on Israel, or on Africa. He's plunged the economy, they say, into crisis by relying just on the IMF loans. These are just some of the issues. And most importantly, of course, they accuse him of keeping a large number of former regime officials in place in the government. So what has Morsi done in terms of the goals of the revolution?
We have to come back again to when Dr. Morsi started his receiving the power. As soon as he started receiving the power, a lot of fabricated crisis, a lot of crisis, and then problem with this calf for 40 days. And the people who called for a million demonstration, it's about 24, and this one is the 25th. How come this is really very panic environmental for anyone to rule any country in the world, especially that we are coming after a revolution? We don't have stability, we don't have enough security and safety, we still have a leak from the police officers and the department. They're still not working enough. It looks like that they are not happy with the democracy. And then he faces a lot of problem. And now he only wants just the opportunity for a few 2 months to have the parliamentary election. And then by that way, we still be in the room of democracy. We still looks like that we are a good people. We are a pro model as we were in the revolution of the 25th. And then let us go to the parliamentary election, and then we will have, even as they said, they have 26 million people signed for their reform. That's fine that they got this kind of people. Yes. And let's go for the, I don't know why they don't want to go to the parliamentary election. And then they have the majority seats, and they have their own ministry cabinet, right, and they can judge the president. And let's go with a smooth transition for the power.
Okay, so what you said there, let's bring that up with our guest in London, Mr. Agab. A lot of the people who have the same idea say, why shouldn't the opposition, if they have this much support, just wait for parliamentary elections to be held so they can get the votes and they can, from the new stage, lead the country? Why should this happen?
We're just repeating ourselves. I mean, a government has been elected and a president has been elected to rule the country. If it is difficult for you, then go. If you can't do it, then go. Don't keep coming all the time and say people are making difficult for us.
Well,
the message was very, very clear. I want to say to Mr. Sudani.
Yes, if I could just jump in here with another question. What's happening right now in the streets of Cairo is people are rejoicing over that military statement. As soon as it was made, people were waving flags. They were happy. They were saying the military is on our side, etc. And a lot of people were saying they are the same people who've been rallying against the military control over the government. Even Morsi was hailed for pushing the military back and out of political life. Do you think that hasn't become a danger again?
Hello. I'm sorry,
I don't think so. People are allowed to change their mind. People are allowed to change their minds according to the situation. I mean, people were against the army ruling at the beginning because they want to get rid of this situation. Now people seeing that the country is in crisis and see what's happening in the streets, so people will accept the army. But I don't think they will not accept them to rule. They will accept the army to save the country from the crisis they are in. Ukraine. But nobody wants the army to rule. The army has got a clear job to do, and we don't want them to be busy doing other things. So welcome to the army to save the country from what's happening. And people can allow and are allowed to change their minds. You know, people have elected Morsi, as you say, and people now are allowed to change their mind because the delivery is not there. So let us say that, yes, we can change our mind at any time according to the situation on the ground.
Okay, well, before we move on, let's take a look at another comment that's been posted on our Facebook page, and I'll be back with the rest of the discussion.
It was clear enough for every Egyptian that President Morsi was democratically elected. 1 year is not enough to assess and judge him to warrant this mass protest. But as things may be, the opposition clearly outnumbers his supporters, and the only solution is that he resigns and make way for a snap election. Every now and then, protests won't help the country grow and move further. It'll only bring turmoil and kill the economy.
Well, just on what was said there in that comment, I'll refer to parts of it to a question to our guest in London, Mr. Agab. Now, there is a lot of concern, Mr. Agab, of the forces being involved in this so-called second revolutionary move by the Egyptian people. A lot of people are saying that people or forces loyal to the former regime have been infiltrating people's ranks. They are creating chaos. And this situation only breeds the atmosphere for which they could come back or create chaos, or even for regional powers to get involved. Some Persian Gulf countries mentioned here trying to hinder Egypt's democratic process.
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm sure that after what happened in the past, since Hosni Mubarak was ousted out, Egypt is not going to go in a year or two straight on the right route. We're going to go through stages. And what we're witnessing now is one of the stages that we're going to go through. And the people of Egypt are different kind of people. They're different suffering, they're different problems. So we're going to go through stages until we reach the situation that will make Egypt a great country again. So what we're looking at now is there is problems. The message was very loud and clear from the people in Egypt and all over the world from the Egyptians. So when we see that much opposition or that much rejection, we shouldn't clench to the seat and say, no, we will remain there. We should listen to the people and then find a solution. We should sit together. I mean, when I say sit together, I mean I welcome and invite the Sheikh Al-Azhar and Bob Tawadros and those kind of people to sit and guide the country through this difficult time. I wouldn't look at the opposition in any way because we lost hope in them as well. But wise people can sit down now and lead and guide. The army, I'm not worried about them coming back now, but because, as I said, people were relieved because people looking for a savior to save them from the trouble they are in. People wants to live a normal life, and this normal life has not been achieved for 2 years. So they will look for anyone, whoever, to come and give them this normal life back. Okay. So people got hopes in anyone that come up now and offer a solution.
Okay, well, I'll just like to tell our viewers right now that our guest in Cairo, we had a little technical problem with his sound or audio, so we can't have him back right now. But I'll just leave the concluding comments again to our guest, Mr. Agab, in London. Now, Mr. Agab, do you think that just before the 48 hours finish, that President Mohamed Morsi or the opposition will reach some kind of a solution, that President Mohamed Morsi, for instance, would make a cabinet reshuffle and start national dialogue, or even hold a referendum, some say, on early polls, a move like that that would, just ease the situation and lead the protesters back to their homes?
The wise thing to do now is to work with the army. I mean, for the government to work with the army now for through a solution. We don't want the army to come up with a roadmap that is being rejected by the Muslim Brotherhood. And again, I will say, I hope, because this is something very dangerous that I can see in the street of Egypt, that the Muslim Brotherhood trying to make it like an Islamic revolution. Because there is a lot of Muslims in Egypt who don't belong to the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yes.
So we should never go down that route. But what we're looking at here, that the army and the government should work together through this roadmap and get the right roadmap and the right solution to work together, not to compete or not to reject or not to
be against each other. Okay, I'll stop you there, Mr. Rabab. Sorry for jumping in, because I'm just hearing that Mr. Sudan is back with us. Mr. Sudan, very quickly, tell us your concluding remarks. Do you think that the Muslim Brotherhood or the Morsi government is going to do something in this 48 hours?
I'm sorry, I did not hear you well.
The question was, in this 48-hour period, in this 48-hour period, will Morsi make a decision?
There are an echo in the voice. Please say it again.
Okay. I'm afraid we've got a problem there with our guest, Mr. Mohamed Sudan in Cairo. So we'll have to end it there. We are out of time. A big thank you to Mr. Mohamed Sudan, the head of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Justice and Freedom Party and founder of the Egyptian UK Association with us in London, Mr. Mustafa Ragab. Thanks so much for staying with us on The Debate. It's goodbye from me.